We do thank our Lord for the cross, and we lift it high. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was lifted high on the cross so that we might be lifted high as well. The very familiar scripture verses for us preceding John 3:16, John 3:14 and 15, once again, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What's the first aid for a snake bite? Have you watched those old westerns where they get their pocket knife out and make the cuts and get down in there and try and suck it out? Don't do it. That's the wrong thing to do. The first aid for snake bites, as I checked it out here, very much so, is call 911. Stay calm. Get to the hospital. Call 911. Don't put a tourniquet on. All these things that are there. I read a lot to find out about snake bites, and it says those things. You know what it didn't say? Look up to a bronze snake. I thought I would find that someplace where the cure for a snake bite would be to look at a bronze snake that was lifted high on a pole. Well, if I would have looked in Numbers, I would have found it, wouldn't I? Tonight's scripture reading. That story in the Old Testament that points us directly to Jesus Christ. That kind of strange story in the Old Testament from the book of Numbers. The children of Israel, the second generation of the children of Israel, the first generation that had come out of Egypt, as you remember, grumbled and complained and complained and grumbled a lot. And God said, all right, if you don't want to go into that promised land, when Joshua and Caleb had gone up and explored it and come back and said we can go in, if you don't want to go in the promised land, that's okay. I'll answer your prayer. You can wander around the wilderness for 40 years. And they did. This was year 38 where our text takes place with the snakes in the desert. It's year 38 and it's the new generation. It's generation number 2 that continues to complain. Now, keep in mind, for 38 years, they've been getting free groceries. Every morning, delivered right to their door, they had manna, enough to feed 1.5 million, maybe 2 million people. God had been doing this for them. When they got thirsty, he gave them water from a rock. When people came in, the Amalekites and all the other kind of kites that were there that came to fight against them, God was the one who protected them. And yet they complained, and they complained, and they complained. And so they said, God, we hate this manna. Give us something else. Be careful what you pray for. God did give them something else. It was vipers. It was snakes. It was poisonous snakes that God gave to them. And those snakes came and they bit the people and many people died. They didn't have hospitals at that time. They didn't have other ways of doing that. Until it worked. God always wants to work repentance in his people. And when God sends snakes, or when God sends any of those kinds of things to his people, what he wants that to do is to have them turn their focus away from what they want and what the way that they want things to look to him. And it worked. The people said to Moses, pray for us, Moses, pray for us. We know that what we've done is wrong. There was some repentance going on there in praying, and so Moses did. He prayed to God, and God said, make a serpent and put it up on a pole, and anyone who's bitten by a snake, if they look to that, if they take their eyes off of focusing upon themselves and they look to me, then they'll be saved. And as you know, it worked. Those that were bitten looked to that snake and were saved. How very significant this Old Testament story is as the people, the children of Israel, trusted in God and listened to what he said and took the focus off of themselves and placed it upon God. Nicodemus, fast forward with me, would you? Hundreds of years into the New Testament time, and Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, didn't quite understand stuff about Jesus, and so, hey, Jesus, when you're not busy some night, come on over and I'd like to talk to you. Nicodemus comes and talks to Jesus, not understanding what's going on with Jesus. And Jesus talks to him and says, you must be born again, and you must be born by the Spirit, and so on. And Nicodemus doesn't understand it. So Jesus says, hey, Nicodemus, you know that story. You know the story. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That whoever looks to him, whoever takes the focus off of himself and looks to Jesus, will not perish but have everlasting life. What a good connection. What a great connection for Nicodemus. What a good connection for you and for me. Where's our focus? Where is it that we're looking, especially when there's difficulties in life and so on? Where's the focus for us? Is it upon ourselves, or do we do what God has said, and that is to lift high the cross and to look to the cross of Jesus Christ, to look away from what we do to what he has done? How important it is, because there was no other way of being cured of snake bite. In the Old Testament, in Numbers, there was no other way of being cured except to look to that snake on the pole for you and me. And I hope you know this, there's no other way of salvation except through Jesus Christ and looking to him as our Lord and Savior. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Does it seem strange to you that with snake bite, that the cure for snake bite in the Old Testament was a snake? Does it seem kind of strange to you that that's what God would say to Moses, is to make a bronze snake, so that as you're bit with this viper, you need to look to the viper to be saved? The world thinks it's pretty strange that we believe in Jesus dying on a cross. The world thinks it's pretty strange that we think that we have a Savior who suffered and died on that cross, on that terrible image of death. But that's exactly what God's Word says. That it's only through Jesus' death on that cross, as strange as that seems, that we have salvation in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul would write, I resolve to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he'd write, Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, it's foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those of us whom God has called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, having died on that cross and risen again, will not perish but have eternal life. But lifting high the cross, looking to the cross of Jesus, is much more than just looking to a cross. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this cross that is out by Groom, Texas. It's the 20th anniversary that it's been there for 20 years now. It's a 19-story cross that was built there. Two shops in Pampa, Texas, 100 welders working on this, erected in July of 1995. Steve Thomas and his wife, Bobby, wanted to do something to show their faith in Jesus. And so they had this 190-foot tall cross made. And it has 14 different images or encircled around it, bronze statues of all of the stations of the cross that's there. It's said that people can see it from 20 miles away. Is that what saves people? Looking to a cross like this? Is wearing a cross as jewelry? That's what saves people, right? Just like it wasn't the bronze snake that saved the people in Numbers. It wasn't the bronze snake that saved the people. It was obeying and looking to God. The same thing for you and for me. We have crosses as decorations. We even call churches Holy Cross. We have all kinds of ways that we have crosses and so on, but it's not the cross that saves us, it's Jesus Christ who saves us. And the cross is always the symbol that points us to Jesus Christ, to Jesus Christ, the one who was lifted high for you and for me. Jesus said, "I must be lifted high." And he was. Jesus was lifted high on the cross. But he didn't stay lifted high on that cross, did he? He raised again from the dead. He was raised from the dead, lifted high once again. And not only that, but he was raised into heaven on ascension. He was raised in the eyes of his disciples and caught up into the clouds where the disciples couldn't see anymore, where he's coming once again. And because Jesus was raised on the cross, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, he still comes to us today. And he raises us as well. He raises us through his word and sacrament. Again, tonight, as we hear God's word, as we remember our baptism, and as we come in just a few moments to receive his true body and blood, he raises us from our sin. And that snake bite of sin, that terrible consequences of our sin, he forgives, and he heals, and he gives us new life. And he encourages us and empowers us to go back out into the world, into that dark and sinful world, being renewed and refreshed and knowing about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, sharing with the world about snake bites and about the cure for snake bites, Jesus Christ, the only cure that's there. How wonderful it is, that second scripture reading, the middle one that we have from Ephesians chapter 2, it's kind of the John 3:16 of Ephesians, where it says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not what you do." Kind of like, look away from yourself and look to that bronze snake on a pole. Look away from yourself and look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Look away from yourself and see what Jesus Christ has done. It's by grace, not by what you do. And then he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do." Wow, what a difference it makes in our lives. What a difference it makes. And people will see that difference in this snake-bitten world. As people struggle and deal with all kinds of difficulties, they'll see the good works. They'll see the Jesus Christ and the faith that is in our lives. And they'll want to find that and have that as well. He'll give to us those opportunities to share, and the good works that God has prepared for us in advance, we share Jesus Christ with them. What a gracious opportunity that we have as we do this. So tonight, lift high the cross. Lift high Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us, especially for those that are snake-bitten in this world. And as we continue to struggle in this world, we know Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We help others to see that as well. May God continue to bless you and me with our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. In his precious name, amen. May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered on Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.